goose feather, and their on-cry of Kuna were feared from Lochalsh to Kantar. Later they made a truce with the king and entered the royal councils. For years they warded the western coast, and as king lieutenants smoked out the inferior pilots of Ig and Toronse. Aradan was made a lord of Sleet, another was given lands in the Low Country, and the name of Baron of Strath Ire. But their honours were transitory and short as their lives. Rarely one of the house saw middle age. A bold, handsome, and stirring race, it was their fate to be cut off in the rude warfare of the times, or if peace had them in its clutches, to man vessel and set off once more on those mad western voyages, which were the weird of the family. Three of the name were found drowned on the far shore of Kuna. More than one sailed straight out of the ken of mortals. One rode with the good Lord James on the pilgrimage of the Heart of Bruce, and died by his leader's side in the Saracen battle. Long afterwards, Aradan led the western men against the Cheshire archers at Flodden, and was slain himself in the steel circle around the king. But the years brought peace and a greater wealth, and soon a cold stone tower was left solitary on the headland, and the new house of Kinlacuna rose by the green links of the stream. The family changed its faith, and an episcopal chaplain took the place of the old mass priest in the tutoring of the sons. Radans were in the 15 and the 45. They rose with Bute to power, and they long disputed the pride of Dundas in the northern capital. They intermarried with great English houses, till the sons of the family were Scots only in name, living much abroad or in London, many of them English landowners by virtue of a mother's blood. Soon the race was of the common, over-civilized type, graceful, well-mannered, with abundant good looks, but only once in a generation reverting to the rugged northern strength. Eton and Oxford had in turn displaced the family chaplain, and the house by the windy headland grew emptier and emptier, save when grouse and deer brought home its fickle masters. Part 2. A childish illness sent Colin to Kinlacuna when he had reached the mature age of 5, and delicate health kept him there for the greater part of the next 6 years. During the winter he lived in London, but from the late northern spring, through all the long bright summers, he lived in the great tenantless place, without company, for he was an only child. A French nurse had the charge of his doings, and when he had passed through the formality of lessons, there were the long pine woods at his disposal, the rough moor, the wonderful black holes with the rich black mud in them, and best of all, the Bay of Acara below the headland, with Kuna lying in the waves a mile to the west. At such times his father was busy elsewhere. His mother was dead. The family had few near relatives, so he passed a solitary childhood in the company of seagulls and the birds of the moor. His time for the beach was the afternoon. On the left, as you go down through the woods from the house, there runs out the great headland of Acara, red and grey with mosses, and with a nimbus always of screaming seafowl. To the right runs a low beach of sand, passing into rough limestone boulders, and then into the heather of the wood. This, in turn, is bounded by a reef of low rocks, falling by gentle breaks to the water's edge. It is crowned with a tangle of heath and fern, bright at most seasons with flowers, and dwarf pine trees straggle on its crest, till one sees the meaning of its Gaelic name, the ragged coxcomb. This place was Colin's playground in fine weather. When it blew rain or snow from the north, he dwelt indoors among dogs and books, puzzling his way through great volumes from his father's shelves. But when the mild west wind weather fell on the sea, then he would lie on the hot sand, Amelie the nurse reading a novel on the nearest rock, and kick his small heels as he followed his fancy. He built great sandcastles to the shape of a Acara old tower, and peopled them with preposterous knights and ladies. He drew great moats and...